Luke 12, verse 1 to 21. Hear the word of the Lord. In the meantime, when so many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples first, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, Rietta. Good evening, everyone. I hope you're all well. My name is Josh. I'm one of the pastors here at church. If you haven't seen me before, that might be because I've been away the last couple of weeks. So it's good to be back among you. And if you are here tonight, you're a visitor, then a particularly warm welcome to you. Glad you can be here with us as we get into God's word. Now, before we do that, just a couple of announcements from me. Firstly, praise God, things seem to be getting back to some semblance of normality with regards to COVID here in Perth. We're really thankful for that. And given that's the case, here in the PM service, we'd like to look at restarting PM Supper, which, if you've been here for a while, is a thing we did every week before COVID hit us. We'd like to look at getting that started again in the near future. And what we want to do is to be able to serve hot drinks out in the hall after the service each week. So in order to do that, we're going to be needing a team of people, a team of volunteers who would be keen to be in the kitchen before the service begins, just prepping, getting things ready, putting out cups and that sort of thing. And then, as I said, serving that tea, coffee and Milo, which is all there in the kitchen. So if you think that's something you can do, a way that you can serve among us, then I'd love to hear from you. Please come and chat with me or anyone else you've seen up here tonight, or talk to the church office, and we'd love to put a team together so that we can enjoy some warm drinks after the service each week. Second thing for me is big news, and it relates to Rietta, who was just up here a moment ago. Rietta is part of the Achenbach family, who are long-time members here at our church. And huge news that Rietta and her boyfriend, Nate, have got engaged. But yeah. Yeah. So praise God for that. Always a wonderful thing when he brings two people together. And so please do keep them in your prayers as they prepare for marriage and get looking forward to that happening down the road. So we're really excited for them and for the whole Achenbach family and Turner families as well. So it's great. Yeah. Now, do please keep that Bible passage open. So Luke chapter 12, we're going to jump into it now and let's have a look at what God has to say to us. Now, before I began in ministry, which is a number of years ago now, I used to work in an advertising agency. And maybe you know this about me. Now, I didn't actually work in the advertising side of the business, but I still got a pretty good look at the inner workings of advertising, like what's involved. And when it comes down to it, the idea behind advertising, generally speaking, I think can be summed up pretty simply. And it's this: real life is just within your reach. In other words, if you buy this thing that we're selling you, your life will be better, right? It's a promise of real life, of better life. Now, the flip side of that promise, which is there in most adverts, is, of course, if that's the case, better life's just there for you to grab, then clearly what you have now is not enough, right? If the better life is out there, then what you have mustn't be enough. Now, if you actually believed that you had enough, well, then you wouldn't need that thing. Advertising wouldn't work. And I think this is the idea, this is the subtle promise behind, I reckon, 99% of all the ads that we see. And so just to help this sink in a little bit, I want to actually play a short video of an advert. So I'm going to throw to our AV guys and let's see this play out on the screen behind me. Oh, see that? I sold you the promise of an ad and it didn't work out. Terrible, right? There's advertising right there. So I was hoping to be able to show you an ad. It was a KFC ad. I don't know if you've seen the KFC ads that are doing the rounds, the one that where they say, shut up and take my money, you know, those ones. And here we are. You had the gentleman in his car with a carload of kids all screaming and making noise. And you could see already on his face, he wasn't excited about the position he was in. And then he looks out his window and what does he see? He sees an advert for 9 pieces of chicken for $9.95. And suddenly his face lights up and he gets hold of that chicken and he's sitting there in the car and the kids are outside the car all looking in, hoping they'll get a bit of the chicken as well, but he's just sitting there eating it all himself and that look of pure joy on his face, you can just tell he's got the good life, right? Now, we see those ads. I'm sure you've seen one of those ads. It's out there all the time. I think we laugh at them, right? We laugh at an ad like that because we all know KFC, it's not that great. It's more likely to give you heart palpitations than no? Oh, okay. Maybe that's just me. Yeah. It's more likely to give you heart palpitations than true happiness. But the idea, right, the idea behind an ad like that, the promise that's there, it's the same, isn't it? Real life is just within reach. And so what you have now isn't enough. Now that's the message that's pushed on us day after day after day. And given that's the case, well, it's no wonder then that we struggle with greed, right? That this is the environment that we live in. If I can just get that thing, my life will improve for the better. Or my life now, it's just not working out because I don't have that thing that I want, whatever that might be. Insert thing here. So if that's the case, if that's the message pushed on us all the time, how do we navigate that as Christians? How do we make our way through the world without falling into temptation, the temptation for greed? How should I use my money or the things that I own? Well, all of these questions, I think that this passage that we're going to look at tonight will help us to answer. Okay, now we're particularly going to look at verses 13 to 21, but to get a better sense of what it's saying, we're going to have a look at the context as well, which is why we had read all the verses from 1 through to 21. Okay, if you've been here for the last little while, we recently did a series called Misquoting God, And we saw there it was crucial to get context when we want to rightly understand a passage. So that's what we're going to do here. Okay, now the context of this wider portion of Luke is that Jesus is continuing a discussion where he's been rebuking the Pharisees for their hard hearts. So as we begin chapter 12, as we get into it, we see Jesus, he gives a warning to the crowd that's assembled, that are milling about around him. And the warning he says to them is this. He says, keep in mind your destiny. Okay, keep in mind your destiny. Why does he say that? Well, because there is a destiny that is to come, and that destiny is in God's hands. Now, Jesus, he makes this general point clear in what he says here. Look at there at verse 1. He gives this warning. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, and nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. In other words, it's the future destiny of all hypocrites that their hypocrisy will eventually be revealed. Now, the word hypocrite actually comes from the theatre. Actors, back in the day, they would wear masks in order to portray a different character, someone different from themselves. Okay, and so what was on the mask, that was different to their true self. And Jesus is saying here, he gives a warning, don't be like the Pharisees who are hypocritical. Okay, don't be wearing a mask of religiosity, but then underneath be all about selfish power grabbing. Now why? Because Jesus says the destiny for all people, for every one of us, is that any masks we might wear in this life will eventually be torn off. Okay, and so that's why he's telling us to keep our destiny in mind, because our destiny doesn't lie in our hands, but in God's. And now this idea continues as we get further into chapter 12. He says that God is the one to fear, not others, not those around us. Why? Because God's the one who has the authority to impact our destiny. Okay, and so what we do in this life then will affect our future destiny, which is in God's hands. Now, at a house nearby where Carolyn, my wife, and I live, the homeowner there has done something to a young tree that's out the front of their house. Okay, I noticed it. They recently put up what looks like a large lackey band around this tree, one end fixed around the tree's trunk and the other end fixed to the ground. Now, when you look at it, the purpose of something like that is pretty obvious, right? The homeowner is trying to shape the tree now so that in the future it doesn't end up misshapen, doesn't end up out of shape. And now, a homeowner would only do something like that if they're keeping the future of the tree in mind, aren't they? Now, compare that, on the other hand, to my place, where at the moment the garden's got a little bit out of hand. Some of the trees are overgrown, they're starting to encroach on the neighbour's yard, the grass has gotten into the garden beds. Why? Because I wasn't thinking about the future. I was just like, oh, it looks great now, but then down the track, out of control, because I wasn't thinking about it. Now, Jesus' warning here is the same. Okay, he's saying, keep in mind your future destiny. Okay, don't be like a hypocritical Pharisee who's only interested in the here and now, in what they look like now. Okay, don't present one image to everyone else, but then underneath live in a completely different way. No, he's saying, keep your future in mind and shape your life in the here and now to align with that future. Right, and so this is the general kind of message we get in verses 1 to 12 of chapter 12. And it's into that context, into this focus on this future destiny that we all have, that someone in the crowd yells, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, I remember learning to drive in a manual car. Maybe you've done that as well. Something about a manual, you've got to find the sweet spot between releasing the clutch and hitting the accelerator. Right? Because what happens if you don't, right? If you don't get that sweet spot right, or you grind the gears, right? Ka-chunk, ka-chunk. You get the bunny hop happening, the whole shebang. Right? And your momentum's lost, you're thrown right off. Now, I can't think of a better thing to describe this person's interruption of Jesus here in this moment in verse 13. Okay, here's Jesus driving home how crucial it is to not be focused on the here and now, but to keep in mind what's to come, your future destiny. And then into that comes this guy coming to squabble over a petty financial matter. And it shows you just how fixated we as people can get on the here and now, can't we? And how fixated we can get on things like money. Now, Jesus, he responds to the man in verse 14, and his response shows he's not really interested in deciding the matter for the man. And the man wants him to make the call on it. Jesus is interested in that. He's much more keen to take a look at what's under the surface. Okay, because what's under the surface is what matters. Just like with the Pharisees, they might present an outer face, but actually it's what underneath that actually counts. And it seems with this guy that there's something underneath the surface that Jesus wants to point to, that he wants to talk about. Okay, and so he turns to the crowd in verse 15 and he says this. And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Now see, Jesus is pointing out that covetousness or greed can be an issue for any of us. Okay, the fact that this man here would raise this temporary here and now issue in the midst of a discussion about our cosmic future, well, it shows just how deeply planted greed can be. Okay, it's something we all need to be on our guard against. It's not enough to say, "Oh, it's just a problem for those wealthy people out there." Okay, the ones who live the lives of the rich and famous. It's a problem for them, not for me. No, Jesus doesn't take a survey of the crowd before giving this warning to find out who's got a big bank balance and who doesn't. Greed is an issue that can affect any of us. And this becomes, I think, even more clear when you understand that what Jesus is giving a warning against, when he says covetousness, he's actually saying all forms of covetousness or greed. Because it doesn't just come in one size. Excuse me. It's not just about how much money you have. Okay, there's many ways to be greedy. And so I wanted to quickly run through a few different types of greed that we might see in our lives. I'm going to borrow here from an author named Chad Hoving. He mentions four common types of greed. Okay, four types. First one, overspending. This is probably what most of us would think about when we think about something like greed. Okay, someone who's always buying new things, someone who doesn't have the patience to wait but must have that new thing now. And in this case, a person might not have a big bank balance because they're actually always spending the money that they have, or maybe even the money they don't have to buy the things that they don't really need. Okay, overspending. What about hoarding? And I don't know if you guys have seen the TV show called Hoarders, which has been around for a little while. I've seen a little bit of it. It's pretty incredible viewing. People's houses filled to the brim with junk, stuff that they thought was important and has ended up just sitting in their house collecting dust. Okay, but now that's the extreme end of hoarding. Okay, it doesn't have to be like that to be guilty of that. Okay, someone who struggles with greed might be hoarding in much more subtle ways. Okay, they might be unwilling to part with their own money, so worried they are about saving. They might be insecure about the future, and so working really hard to gather enough for themselves to give them a sense of security. Hey, that's what hoarding might look like for you. Then there's comparison, third one. Now, you probably know this feeling, okay, the desire to compete with others around you in regards to what you own or your lifestyle. My neighbour just got a new car. I think it's time for us to do a trade-in and get an upgrade. Well, my friend, they just got that new phone, you know, the camera, the one that has the camera with three lenses. I'd better pull that trigger on the phone I saw the other day. Now, this is closely related to envy, isn't it? But it's still a form of greed, because what's underneath is a belief that you don't have enough. And lastly, fourthly, there's entitlement. And a person who feels a sense of entitlement might be underneath struggling with greed. Anytime you think, I deserved that, it could be greed underneath. I deserve that promotion. I deserve that last piece of cake. And you don't have to be rich to be entitled, do you? In fact, it could be that you're doing it really tough financially and then expecting others to lift you out of that tough spot. And if that help doesn't come, well, then you're angry. Right? It's not fair. Someone should do this for me. Why should I have to go through this hard time? Yeah, even that can be entitlement and a form of greed. Bottom line is that greed comes in all shapes and sizes. And Jesus makes it clear. Each one of us needs to be on guard against it. Now, to drive this home, Jesus goes on then to give a parable in verse 16 to 20. This is the part of the story that you're no doubt familiar with. There's a rich man who's doing really well for himself. He's got a bumper crop, okay, one year. He's already doing well. He's already doing abundantly well. He doesn't have enough room now to store this extra crop, this extra produce. So he has this internal dialogue with himself, and he thinks, I know, I'll tear down the barns that I already have and build myself bigger ones. Why? Then I can store that extra grain, that extra crop for my long term and use it for myself. Now this, funnily enough, this makes me think a little bit of the end of Genesis, which is a series that we've been going through in the morning service. There, if you're familiar with the story, God tells Joseph that Egypt is going to go through a severe famine, 7 years of famine. But before that happens, there'll be 7 good years. And so God says to Joseph, store up grain over those 7 good years. Why? Not to keep it all for yourself, but so that it can be used by others. Okay, so that other people can use it, so that they can all share in it. Now this guy, he's storing it up for only one person. Okay, it's there in verse 19. Have a look at verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Okay, this man is only thinking about himself. He's only thinking about what he can get out of this situation. Now, to your average punter on the street, this guy's a smart guy, right? He's building himself a portfolio. He's investing now in the future, you could say. But God sees what's underneath, doesn't he? And so what does God say about this man? He says, fool. And that's what God says. Have a look at verse 20. Have a look at verse 20. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you've prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now, Jesus' point is crystal clear, isn't it? The one who bases their life on what they have or on what they can gain in the here and now, that person is a fool. It's a foolish waste to make that the goal of your life, to gather as much as you can for yourself. Okay, that's a fool's errand, Jesus says. Why? Because every one of us has a future destiny, a life beyond the here and now. And you can't take the things of this world with you. Yeah, that's why the rich man is a fool. He's gathered all this stuff and he leaves it behind. He doesn't take it with him. All that saving, all those years of no doubt hard work, in the end, it's for nothing. Now, I've got a picture to show you on the screen. I'm going to hope that this pops up. There we go. Everyone can see that. Right, this is a picture of three jars. Okay, there's a collection. This is a collection by a man who actually lives right here in Perth. I found this out. Okay, this is something this man has been collecting now for a long time. And he's collected so much of it that he's got himself in the Guinness World Records for it, okay? Now, do you know what it is? I don't know if anyone can see what they think it might be. It's this. It's belly button fluff. Yeah, belly button fluff. So the amount that he's got there, just in those three jars, is all the way from 1984 to mid-2000s. Okay, 20 years of belly button fluff. And you've got to ask yourself, why? Like, why would you do this? Like, clearly this is not stuff of any value. I mean, why spend time and energy pursuing the collection of stuff that in the end is worthless? In the end, doesn't do anything. Now, the man in the parable, all he collected would have been much more valuable than that. But in the end, it ends up the same, doesn't it? But why? Because he couldn't take it with him. He couldn't use it. And even if he was able to use it, it still would have been a waste. Because you would have messed with your future destiny. Okay, if you seek life in the here and now, in the gathering of possessions, in earthly riches, if that's where you find life, real life, Jesus says, then you miss out on life in the age to come. And that's an incalculable waste. To mess with that future destiny over trinkets, why would you do that? Jesus himself said this in the Gospels, in other places in the Gospels. Why gain the whole world and yet forfeit your soul? Hey, you might as well collect belly button fluff for all the good it's going to do for you. So if that's the case, well, what can I do then to guard against covetousness as Jesus commands? Hey, how can I ensure that I don't end up like the man in this parable? I think there are a couple of things we can say. Firstly, we want to realize that your possessions don't really belong to you. Okay, now, money, earthly possessions, they've been around for a long, long time. And there's every chance they will continue to be around for a long, long time until way after each of us has left the earth, unless Christ returns. Okay, so that means we don't truly own these things that we have. Rather, what's true is God has given us stewardship over them. Okay, this is something that God said in the Garden of Eden, right back in creation. He gave humanity dominion, but stewardship over the world. We're to take care of it, we're to look after it, we're to use it, but not primarily for our own pleasure, our own benefit, but because it's God's and he's given it to us to look after. Now, I'm to look after the things I have. I'm to use them well. But if I understand rightly that it's God's and not mine, then I'll do that keeping the ultimate owner in mind. Right? I'll keep God in mind as I use them. So the question then becomes not how can I build my share portfolio, but how can I share what God has given me? Okay, not what sort of house can I get, but how can I use this house for God's glory? Now, in the movie Toy Story, one of the big themes that comes up is that Woody, the cowboy figurine, he belongs to Andy. Okay, I'm sure many of you have seen this movie. Now, how does he know he belongs to Andy? Well, his name is written on the bottom of his shoe, right? Every time he does this, you can see Andy written right there. Okay, he is Andy's toy. And so everything he does in the movie essentially revolves around that fact that he belongs to Andy. Now, what name is written on all the things that you possess right now? It's not your name. It's God's name. His name is written on those things. It's God's car, God's phone, God's house, God's television, God's bank balance. So the question is, what would he have you do with it? That's the thing to be asking yourself. The second thing, second and final thing, this parable encourages us to understand that real life is not found in being rich towards myself. In other words, the essence of life is not about gathering stuff in the here and now. And instead, and Jesus says this at the end of the passage, be rich towards God. Okay, don't lay up treasure for yourself, but be rich towards God. Now, you might be asking, well, how can I be rich towards God when I don't have any riches myself? But that misses the point. You do have riches if you're following Jesus. Let me read to you from another passage in the New Testament, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5. Okay, this is what it says. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We do have riches, according to Scripture. We share in the riches of God's great love and mercy to us in Christ. And that means you do have access to the one thing that you actually need. You already have real life if you're trusting in Christ. Okay, it's the real life that comes from trusting Jesus, from what he has done out of his rich mercy. And that real life is not life just in the here and now, it's life eternal. Okay, it stretches far beyond this life. And so let's take a conservative view. Let's, in a million years, when you're walking with Jesus in new creation, if you're trusting him, is it really going to matter if in this life you bought clothes from Kmart instead of David Jones so you could give more to church? Is it really going to matter if you bought that cheaper phone rather than the one with the expensive camera so that you could be more generous towards others? Is it really going to matter if you didn't buy that investment property and instead invested your money in the kingdom? Is it really going to matter that I skipped KFC that week and instead used the extra cash to make a meal for that family that's struggling? Brothers and sisters, an eternal perspective on life, keeping our future destiny in mind, well, that changes the way we think about our money and our possessions, doesn't it? It shows us that the promise of this world, of a better life here and now, well, that promise isn't worth the paper it's written on. That's a false promise if all it's about is here and now. Rather, Jesus calls us to have an eternal perspective. And when we do that, well, we're reminded that our possessions aren't really ours. We don't really own them. We're merely taking care of them for God. And it pushes us to use those things for his glory rather than for our own. And an eternal perspective reminds us that we can be generous with what God has given us rather than being greedy, because the only thing that we actually need, the only way to get real life, well, God has already lavished that upon us freely through faith in Christ Jesus. And life doesn't get better than that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, it is truly a wondrous thing that you have lavished your grace upon us, that out of the bounty of your rich mercy, you are willing to give up your own son to pay the price for our salvation, to pay for our greed, our selfishness, our idolatry. And Jesus, he took it all upon himself willingly in our place. Father, would you deepen our sense of this incredible truth? If there are those here tonight who don't know this for themselves? Would you convict them of it? Would you show them your glory in the face of the Lord Jesus? May you drive this truth deeper into our hearts than the false promises of this world. And in turn, may we fight against all forms of greed and be generous and wise with what you have given us stewardship over. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.